The 2015 historical drama Bridge of Spies tells the story of James Donovan, a lawyer who negotiated the exchange of a captured American pilot for a Russian spy during the Cold War of the early 1960s. In this edition of SIU Reviews, film critic Walter Metz takes a closer look at the blockbuster film directed by Steven Spielberg and starring Tom Hanks.
For a movie directed by Steven Spielberg and starring that irksomely earnest Tom Hanks, Bridge of Spies is a shockingly subtle film. Unlike the anti-intellectual bludgeons that are Schindler's List and Saving Private Ryan, the new film, perhaps owing to a script rewritten by the quirky Coen brothers, repeatedly undermines its jingoistic surface. The film concerns James B. Donovan, an American insurance lawyer chosen to defend Rudolf Abel, played by Mark Rylance, a spy for the Soviet Union during the height of the First Cold War. We first meet Donovan trying to help his client weasel out of paying $500,000 to five motorcyclists hit by the insured driver. Donovan makes the absurd argument that only one accident occurred, and thus the company should only have to pay $100,000 despite the multiple victims. We never learn whether Donovan's specious argument wins, but it sure does return with a vengeance. Bullied by the CIA, Donovan finds himself alone in 1960 in a divided Berlin, trying to negotiate a prisoner swap with the communists. However, while the Soviets have captured down U-2 spy plane pilot Francis Gary Powers, played quite brilliantly by Austin Stowell as a complete nothing, a dolt, the East German Stasi also have a hapless American economics student, Frederick Pryor, played by Will Rogers, now there's a name for an American actor, stuck in East Berlin because of his love affair with a German girl. Sensing the similarity between Pryor and his law clerk Doug, who also happens to be his daughter's secret boyfriend, Donovan risks global annihilation by playing the Soviets off against the East Germans, demanding the simultaneous release of both Pryor and Powers for just the one Soviet spy, Abel, thus returning to the well of his numerical collapse legal argument. The film thus positions even its hero as a Machiavellian opportunist. The film works this way throughout, wordlessly forging connections and articulating meanings far outside its purported simplistic message of the American judicial system triumphing over Soviet totalitarianism. In the film's most compelling echo, after winning the freedom of the two Americans, Donovan rides the train in his hometown of New York City. After his fellow passengers begin smiling at him, after recognizing him as the hero of Berlin from his photograph in the newspaper, itself an echo of an earlier train ride in which the entire crowd wanted to lynch him for defending Abel. Donovan looks happily out the window. However, what he sees casts a pall over the end of the film. In the backyards of row houses, Donovan sees some kids jumping over a chain-link fence. The worried look on Hanks's face at this moment indicates something beyond the surface meaning. He is comparing the sight to what he saw in the S-Bahn in Berlin, where fleeing East Germans were gunned down at the wall. Beyond this positive comparison, the kids in the United States are not being shot in the back, lurks something even more sinister. Donovan continues to live in a world where kids do get shot in the back, and all of them are not in East Germany. The decade of the 1960s would see many an African-American kid in the South murdered just as brutally. It is for the subtlety of the critique of the United States that I most cherish this film. While walking around in the snow in Berlin, while being essentially abandoned by the American government, Donovan passes a movie marquee. Two of the films playing are Stanley Kubrick's Spartacus and Billy Wilder's 1-2-3, released in 1960 and 1961, respectively. Both of these films represent Hollywood cinema at its most scathing. The leftist Spartacus broke the Hollywood blacklist, while 1-2-3 is the starkest expression of Wilder's cynicism. The film concerns a nutty Coca-Cola executive, played by Jimmy Cagney, of all people. Many critics have praised the old-fashioned storytelling craft of Bridge of Spies. The film instead points to a very different tradition, just as critical of the United States as of the boogeyman communists. Both 1-2-3 and Bridge of Spies use Berlin to not just forward Americanism, but to question its basic foundations. The fact that I can use the greatness of Billy Wilder to read Bridge of Spies points to the fact that this is by far Spielberg's best film in decades.
Bridge of Spies is currently playing at a theater near you. Walter Metz is a professor of film studies in the College of Mass Communication and Media Arts at Southern Illinois University, Carbondale. More of his reviews are available on our webpage, wsiunews.org.